Welcome back, everybody, and thank you for downloading episode 152 of the Golf Unfiltered podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam from golfunfiltered.com. Follow me on Twitter at golfunfiltered. Send me an email, golfunfiltered@gmail.com. Go out and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/golfunfiltered, and we'd appreciate if you wanted to support the show. Thanks to our patrons that have already done so. Harry Arnett, you know him as the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Brand Management at Callaway Golf. He's also the President of OGO Golf. And Harry is a fun follow on Twitter. He's been on the show once before, way back in episode 65. Harry and I joke a little bit about how long it's been since he's been on the show. And so, you know, Harry has been pretty active on social recently talking about ball wars, hashtag ball wars. You guys know what I'm talking about if you follow him and me on Twitter. And, you know, he goes into it a little bit in our conversation today that we kept really casual about everything. And I want to thank Harry for coming on to talk about, you know, his viewpoint on some of the advertising that we're seeing in the game these days. And certainly some brands do it more overtly than others. Some brands try to sneak in little shots here and there. One of the things I appreciate the most about Callaway Golf, especially Harry, is the fact that they're just honest. They go out and they say exactly what they want to say. They're not trying to hide behind any messaging or slip in some, you know, unfair comparisons that you're going to hear Harry and I talk a little bit about in our conversation. And they just go and they let their products talk for themselves. They have great products. I've played Callaway products throughout most of my golfing career. I've got a couple drivers sitting here that I'm looking at right now that I think are great. And even though I don't play the brand exclusively through my bag, I mean, they're just a brand that you can trust because, really, they have people you can trust. And so Harry and I touch on a few different topics. Certainly, we talk about the golf ball war that is either real or not, whether you believe that or not, that's going on right now. We talk about a few other things. We get a little deep in regard to the success of Callaway, whether or not it can maintain that success, or sustain, I guess is the better word, and really what keeps Harry up at night regarding the brand and what he does. And really, I think what comes across so well in what Harry talks about is just, man, he really likes his job. And I think you're going to hear that too. So without further ado, I hope you enjoy this conversation with Mr. Harry Arnett from Callaway Golf. Sit back, relax. Here's Harry.
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
All right. So, you know, like we were talking about, Harry, I mean, first of all, thanks again for coming on. It's always a pleasure to either speak with you on the phone. I know we haven't done it much, but you and I chat fairly often on Twitter. You're doing that a lot these days.
Well, you know, I do. My wife says too much, and maybe I should have a resolution to be less on Twitter, but I really like the interaction with golfers and media and folks like you about Callaway, about golf. And I think that that's one of the cool things I think about golf social media is everybody's so passionate that it's a lot of fun, even if we're on opposite sides of a topic, which occasionally can happen, Adam. It doesn't happen a lot, but occasionally it happens where we're on, not you and me, but where I can be on an opposite side of something.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel the same way about a lot of topics, especially now. And I mean, you know that we talk a lot about equipment on Golf Unfiltered, and you know, you certainly are the guy to talk about equipment with. And you are very active recently talking about, you know, golf balls is a very hot topic. And what I just walk me through that whole scenario of where you see an ad named to be. We won't talk about the name, but you see an ad and you go on Twitter, and I know I felt the desire to just spout off and just say, you know what, you guys are just full of it. And typically brands don't go that route, but you're in leadership and you decide, you know what, I'm going to speak my mind. I mean, I thought that was fantastic. What put you over that edge?
Well, I don't think brands or people ever get in trouble if they are talk about things they believe in or speak the truth. And what you're talking about. I don't mind saying it. Titleist has an ad they're running. It's for their new Toursoft golf ball, which is an ionomer golf ball, a two-piece ionomer golf ball. And I was really surprised that a brand like Titleist would have an ad where they were trying to get the consumers, really uneducated, ignorant consumers, in my opinion, to frame up a comparison that makes sense of a Tour urethane golf ball like the ones that they were comparing against. And Chrome Soft, our Tour urethane golf ball played on tours, happened to be one of them, the first one they mentioned, against an ionomer ball, which performs nothing like a urethane golf ball. Mm. So much so that there aren't a single, we actually looked this up, there is not a single player on any major tours who's playing an ionomer golf ball, except for one on the Champions Tour who happens to be playing one of our golf balls, a Diablo Tour golf ball. So there's not a single player playing an ionomer golf ball on any of the men's tours, I should say, and the major ones, Champions Tour, Web Tour, PGA Tour, European Tour, not one. And so I thought, and we think at Callaway, that was completely misleading. And I didn't mind saying it. And I think what might have surprised people was calling Titleist out directly, because generally Titleist, people think Titleist maybe is above that or shouldn't be called out directly, or brand shouldn't call out directly. I just felt so strongly that it was misleading the golfer and disrespectful to all the work we've done in trying to innovate that category, that I felt like it was worth doing that. And I think that's the only time I've ever done anything like that. So, I think at least things have died down somewhat, although they're still running the ad. But I still think for a company like that to frame up that comparison is completely misleading. They should have been comparing their ionomer ball to our ionomer ball or other people's ionomer ball. That's a fair comparison. And let's see how those perform. And so as we started to think about it, you know, that's really the comparison people should be making. And they should be comparing other tour balls to Titleist's tour ball, to Pro V1. And that's something that I think people would be very interested to see.
I'm glad you did it, because I think the point you brought up about the consumer, you know, the consumers nowadays are more educated in what goes into their equipment than ever before. I don't have to tell you that. And so,
mm-hmm.
You know, you're not comparing apples to apples. And to the points that you just outlined, I think is very important. And the fact of the matter is, in my mind, I mean, I just thought it was stupid that they would put out an ad that people are going to find out, say, hey, these aren't even the same golf balls. But you're right. I mean, they're kind of trying to pull into those golfers that maybe don't take the game as seriously, or at least their equipment as seriously as others. It just doesn't seem like a wise marketing ploy, but you know, you're certainly the expert in marketing. I'm not.
Well, we'll see. I think, from our perspective, people that are buying Chrome Soft are perhaps the most educated people in that urethane category, because they've already done the research to figure out that Chrome Soft performs better for them than the other golf balls in that category, including Pro V1, which is, you know, basically a routine impulse buy at this stage in that category. So we weren't feeling threatened necessarily from a business standpoint. We were more, I guess, offended that they would be trying to mislead golfers in that area. We didn't think that was good for anybody, not the least of which is the golfer. And you're 100% right. Golfers now, this is part of our entire philosophy, especially in marketing, are much more about curating their learning in the category through all different types of media, whether it's TV or print. Obviously there, and those are advertising media, but definitely in the digital space where they're learning about these products and they're learning how they perform, and they understand or should understand the difference between a two-piece ionomer golf ball and a multi-piece urethane golf ball, and why, you know, better players and tour players will prefer urethane versus ionomer. And so we felt like that was needed to be pointed out. And I was a little surprised we were the only company that did point that out. The others that they mentioned have sort of stayed silent on the topic, but we don't mind being the only one. And, you know, we think that's a pretty good thing then. If Titleist is going to be pointing us out and comparing themselves to us, then we'll probably follow along and let people see the data for what it is.
I think a lot of people really appreciated the fact that, you know, you guys did speak out, and I mean, that's just going to make you guys look more endearing, in my opinion. So
maybe I got a lot of "you suck," "you're you know, what are you doing?" But you know, that was a busy 2 days. I wasn't counting for over that weekend, coming right back from the PGA show. I spent a lot of time on the phone and the computer over the weekend, and my wife was like, "What are you doing? Come on, let's get some stuff done around the house." I'm like, "Titleist started it. I can't help it." So, but yeah, I think at the end of the day, coming out of this, we know golfers are going to be a lot more educated about the golf ball category, and we definitely feel that when there are better educated golfers, Callaway is better off for that. So we're looking at this absolutely now as an opportunity.
So I want to transition to maybe educate golfers a little bit further, specifically on two brands or two models that you guys have that everyone knows about. And speaking of the PGA show, I mean, there was a buzz, Harry. I mean, talking to a lot of people that you and I both know who have been on the show most recently about Rogue. I mean, Callaway Rogue, it's a new driver, it's a new set of irons, it's just a new model altogether. And people, I feel, are still confused a little bit about, well, why are we releasing Rogue when we still have Epic? And Epic, with just a insurmountable, in my opinion, level of success, it was so successful. But now here comes Callaway with Rogue, and are we supposed to now kind of, you know, shift over to Rogue? But from my understanding, and let me know if I'm wrong, Harry, I mean, Rogue and Epic were built to live together, side by side. Ain't that right?
Yeah, they are. And there's a degree of that just 1 year after next. Everybody assumes this must replace that. And I think it might have confused people at the beginning when they saw there were two. Rogue is the same price point in the market as Epic is. Epic is still in the market. And we sort of did something radical, I think, there, which is we took an approach more, especially in that premium driver category, you know, $500 and above, that most of the drivers sold there are sold in a fitting environment. So somehow something is happening where they're either trying it in a hitting bay or trying it on the golf course or certainly at green grass. You know, 100% almost of drivers sold at Greengrass are sold through a fitting process. And we thought that Epic, still jailbreak technology, adjustable perimeter weight, was a great golf club and a great club for fitting because of adjustable perimeter weight. And with through the development process of Rogue, we had a improvement to jailbreak. The driver itself is a much bigger footprint. You'll see them if you hold them side by side. Rogue is a bigger driver than Epic is. It doesn't have the adjustable perimeter weight, so it has a weight in the back that you can adjust for swing weighting or other purposes if you go you know, shorter shaft or whatever. But it has an adjustable hosel, but it doesn't have the full extent of adjustability that Epic does. And because it's a bigger footprint, because of some of the modifications we made, it has a lot more MOI than Epic does. So it's a much more forgiving golf club than Epic is. And we were able, because it's bigger, we were able to move the center of gravity lower. So it has a unique performance promise to it that we felt like didn't necessarily obsolete Epic's performance. The only thing that would make people maybe feel like it was replacing Epic is that's just what they're used to 1 year after next. When a TaylorMade launches an M3 and an M4, that's replacing their M1 and M2. And they get that in the marketplace. There's still M1, M2s out there, M3s, M4s, but the M1, M2s are less, it's a discounted price. For us, we wanted to go a different route and think more about a custom fitting environment. So when people go in, the only thing that is not new about Epic is that it's 1 year old. So I guess by definition, it's not new. But it's the same price. So it is two entirely different performance characteristics on those golf clubs. And, you know, some people, if you hadn't played anything with Jailbreak in it before, so, you know, a non-Callaway driver, we think we're going to have a lot more ball speed than you had. If you're playing, if you want that degree of adjustability to dial in your shot shape, then that's probably, Epic's probably going to be the way you would want to go. But if you want extremely high MOI along with that ball speed, as well as the lower CG, so a great combination of low center of gravity, low spin, and forgiveness, then Rogue's probably going to be what you like. And that certainly has played out. We launched the product on Friday officially, and that's exactly what we're seeing. And as a matter of fact, our launch weekend, we did better with Rogue than we did with Epic, which nobody would have believed that because Epic did so well last year. So we really think we have the best 1-2 punch in golf by a mile, and we're excited about those two products. But it is a little unorthodox, so I could see how people would not be used to that because it's not what's been done before.
The look of the club is just it's a great looking club, and I'm not convinced that maybe you guys wanted to make the soul of the club your avatars on social. It makes you guys look like superheroes. Just the way that it's very, very interesting. So bravo.
I love that. Our agency came up with that, and they showed a few different options, as all agencies do. And the one they had that they were like positive that we wouldn't like was the one that you're talking about, which made the driver almost look like an alien or a transformer. And almost unanimously on the Callaway side, we're like, that's so cool. We got to do that. We got to do that somehow. And we ended up going with that as kind of our launch piece.
I think that was really smart. And, you know, you talk a lot about kind of the unorthodox manner in which Rogue was released. And again, it's a full line of clubs throughout, you know, drivers, woods, irons and whatnot. But, you know, I've heard some things, Harry, that people are confused as well about just the number of options across Callaway's whole catalog about different club types. And I know you probably remember all that chatter on Twitter not too long ago, but like, wow, there's just too many options. I don't see it that way. I think options are a good thing, and obviously you guys do too.
As long as we're segmenting it in a way that there's not a ton of overlap, then I think we're fine. I think a lot of what people say in terms of, oh, there's too many products, they're not really looking at it. They're at it the way that it's merchandised. They're more following this stuff in digital marketing and digital communications, where they hear about a lot of products a lot instead of really looking at what's in the fitting cart, what's on the wall. And so if you look at like go into any golf retailer today or Greengrass location, and we essentially have three models that are in a fitting environment. We have Rogue, which is, you know, our new product with that has two different varieties. We have a pro version of Rogue. Nobody is standing there looking at a Rogue iron and looking at a pro iron and feeling confused about what the two are. Rogue is a big iron with wide sole and a thick top line. It screams distance and forgiveness. And the Rogue Pro is a smaller envelope with a thinner top line, less offset, thinner sole. That's for, you know, more accomplished players, generally a plus to 10 handicap. Rogue's going to be anywhere from a 5 to 25. And then we have the one I think that will be the most eye-opening for people is this Rogue X. And what that is we wanted to do something completely modern and not be held back by the conventional wisdoms that exist in club design. And we wanted to almost say, this is not for people that want to go on the internet and figure out what the loft is of my 7-iron or what the loft is of my 8-iron. We want people that are going to get out on the golf course and, you know, we want them to fly the way they normally would fly, but we want them to go as just as far as possible. And we sort of test marketed this in Japan last year, and we were not sure because Japan is typically a very conservative market with respect to irons. And we launched our product there. It's called Epic Star. We have an Epic Star here, but it's different than the one in Japan. And it had that modern spec with a very low CG, a little bit lighter, a little bit longer, and the loft package on it is totally different than what has existed before. And within like 2 weeks, it was the best-selling iron in Japan. And this was a really expensive iron too. So that opened our eyes that people aren't as hung up on the same stuff that we on the golf internet are hung up on. You know, the crowd that's Ben Hogan played a, you know, a 49 degree 9-iron, like that, this is different. This is for people that don't really care about that. They only want a club that launches properly. It, you know, we're not hitting bullets, and goes as far as possible. And so that's what Rogue X is. It's a modern spec iron. And in our opinion, that's the direction that these thin-faced irons are going. And you can see that even from the most conservative competitors that we have out there. They're all sort of migrating that way, whether they call it a you know, distance spec, or I think even like the new AP3 Titleist iron is like a 43 degree pitching wedge. So they're all seeing the same things we're seeing, which is it doesn't really matter what the loft is, as long as you're getting a launch that makes sense, a launch degree that makes sense, and a spin profile that's going to hold the green. So that's Rogue X. And then we've got Apex, which is still, you know, our kind of top of the line forged distance iron. It created a category, so it's still out there. We have the Epic iron, which sits above that, and that's kind of a concept car, rarefied air, $1,800 sets of irons, and then Big Bertha, which is our super game improvement iron. So we're not that different from what other people have in the category. And I think the other thing is we're on 2-year cycles like everybody else. Most everybody else is too. So when you think about the number of irons we have, sometimes you think, oh, there's so many of them. But if you see what's actually on the floor at retail or in Greengrass, it's about what other folks have.
You know, one of the things I've noticed, Harry, you know, obviously you're the SVP of, you know, marketing and brand management at Callaway. You're the president of OGO. You guys have more people under the, or more brands under the Callaway umbrella. And I get the feeling that Callaway is transitioning into a lifestyle brand to a degree. You guys are involved in Top Golf. You guys are involved in a lot of different areas that, you know, you wouldn't normally expect a golf company to be involved in. Is that kind of the goal long-term, to see Callaway or a subsidiary of them in many different areas of a golfer's life?
Yeah, maybe. I think from Callaway Golf, so let's just take like the Callaway Golf brand we were just talking about. So golf balls, irons, we're still going to be all about premium performance. And I think that the way that we see the world, in the way that we see the industry and the golfer evolving, will naturally have our brand evolve as well. So we think that there's so many ways that people are engaging in the game today that we feel like that Callaway being a part of those ways makes people's golf experience better. And so, you know, it's not all about tour all the time. It's not about PGA club professionals all the time. It's about the golfer. And the tour's a part of that. Obviously, playing the golf at a golf course is part of that. What happens in golf retail is part of that. The way that people are consuming information about golf is part of that. Certainly Top Golf is a part of that. Whether you're a hardcore golfer or you're not a hardcore golfer, that's part of the golf experience. And we love framing the golf public broadly like that. And then with some of these other brands that we've brought in as part of our company over the last year, the way that we kind of see it is, you know, the brands you mentioned, TravisMathew, OGIO, these are very premium brands where innovation and, you know, in TravisMathew's case, it's style, but also innovation really matter. And so, you know, we think that's a place where our company really can start to grow in a really dynamic way. And both of those brands in particular, TravisMathew and OGIO, have golf presence. So they're meaningful in golf, but they also have opportunities outside of golf that we think is also really cool as well. So I think what you'll see over the next, you know, short term and midterm is you'll see the Callaway golf brand continuing to get stronger and stronger and stronger, continuing to put out, you know, the world's best products, to, you know, really cool innovations like urethane microspheres and soft fest cores, face cups, jailbreak, those kinds of things. And then in these other brands that are part of our umbrella, you'll start to see, you know, also TravisMathew pushing the envelope on golf style or style inside of golf, but also outside of golf. OGIO, what's happening in bags and accessories inside of golf, but also outside of golf. I mean, think about OGIO. There are more bags sold in a year, OGIO branded bags sold in a year around the world than all of the golf bags combined by anybody that makes a golf bag. So it's a big brand. And people may know it that listen to your show as a golf brand, but they probably see it all the time when they're walking through an airport or whatever with people walking with OGIO backpacks or OGIO luggage. And so, you know, we think we have a lot to offer in terms of innovation, like I said, and bringing kind of style and performance to that brand.
Now, Harry, I mean, all of that has led Callaway and the brands to becoming the number one company in golf. I mean, I don't think anyone can really argue with that anymore. I'm certainly not going to argue that. I think it's quite evident. And, you know, as we know in sports, and I know you've been in the game for a long time, you've seen companies get to that top spot. Callaway's there now. It's got to be draining. And there's got to be some things that keep you up at night. Being on top, it's hard to stay on top. What makes Callaway different? Like, what makes the company culture so great that you can get to that level and hopefully maintain it?
Well, you know, this may sound funny since we opened the show up by talking about tweeting about Titleist, but we really don't have a view that is necessarily inspired by things that are happening with competitors. So we're not motivated by playing defense. Let me put it that way. So we really are looking at what's the next innovation in driver? What's the next innovation in iron? What's the next innovation in putters? How can we improve what we're doing in golf ball to not just be the fastest growing major golf ball brand, but how could we be the number one brand based on performance, not based on paying the most professionals to play our golf ball? How can we do those kinds of things? And so really focusing at the end of the day on, let's try to make the very best products in the world in the categories that we're in. Let's try to think of new and interesting ways for the golfer or the consumer to learn about them and buy them. And then let's try to enhance the experience that people have with that product season after season, time after time, over and over and over again. And so I remember Chip Brewer, our CEO, and I were talking about Papa John's, I think, of all places. And Papa John's was talking, they had a bad quarter or a bad earnings release, and they talked a lot about the consumer and how I think they had a partnership with the NFL, and they felt like maybe the bad publicity the NFL had was casting a bad shadow on their brand. And Chip and I were in an airport. We were just kind of talking about Papa John's, and there was a little bit of a pause, and we both were saying, you know what? But at the end of the day, isn't it that just people aren't liking their pizza as much? And so, you know, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to, especially in a performance product environment, is you want to lead in innovation and lead in performance. And so I think that's the DNA of our company. It always has been, always will be, that we invest more in R&D than anybody else, club R&D. And in these newer businesses that are part of our company, that's what we're focused on. So in OGIO, for example, which you mentioned, I get to lead that team. We're talking about how do we make the world's next, you know, greatest backpack? How do we make the world's greatest golf bag? How do we make the world's greatest spinner wheel carry-on bag? What are the features that have to go into it? So we're not focused on what's Tumi doing or what's Samsonite doing or what's Sun Mountain doing, or we're not really focused on that as much as we are, let's make really awesome products that we're bringing to market in interesting ways. And if we can do that in a consistent way that the consumer loves and respects and is dying to buy our products, that generally ladders up to a pretty good business.
It sounds like it, and I know I've seen it, and you're right. I travel fairly frequently for work, and I see a lot of OGIO on all sorts of bags throughout the airport and terminals. So what you say rings true there, Harry. I got one more here for you, and this is from our friends over at the Hacker's Paradise, and it sounds a little bit like one of those annoying job interview questions, but I think it's a good philosophical question, so to speak. And I know that when I saw it, it made me think even about what I do on this show. And the question is this, Harry, it's what did you learn from last year that's going to help you the most this year?
Whoa. Well, that's pretty deep. That's really very deep for THP. Those guys are usually drunk most of the time, or at least they are when I see them, because it's always at our tournament in December. This is a continuing journey, and I wouldn't say I necessarily learned it last year, but it's something that definitely validated a belief that I had. And that is, I don't know how I say this in a succinct way, but never underestimate the consumer and the power that a consumer or a golfer has today to really create his or her own experience in life within the game has never been more open to him or her. And so that's definitely something I've felt keenly over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years that I think a lot of people don't really think about, because they think of golf in particular as being a very exclusive sport. But there are more ways to engage with golf, both on the course and just with the game itself, than ever today, that there are today than ever before. And so, you know, that's really exciting for me for the job that I have, because I not only get to the responsibility of educating, you know, millions and millions of people about Callaway and OGIO and our company, but I also feel like I have the best job in the world, because I get to introduce them to the people that make those products. And I think that kind of access point, giving people that access point to the performance products in golf, as a, you know, that they're really passionate about, is something I think that's really cool for me, and I think it's really cool for golfers. So you know, I think that that sort of never underestimate the consumer. And that's a little bit different. You know, you'll hear a lot of times people say like, oh, that, you know, consumers are ignorant or consumers are unaware, or, you know, you even hear some people, companies that they don't say it, but they kind of, you're like, they think consumers are dumb. But the consumers are really, really, really knowledgeable and desiring to learn. And I say it's curated learning, that whole curated learning philosophy. They're really, really are in charge of putting together their own learning environment about stuff they're passionate about. And that's really I think that's really exciting for the game, and definitely really exciting for the job that I have, because that's I get to sort of figure out what we're going to try to give them.
I hear a lot of passion in your voice when you talk about your company. Would you say you've got your dream job right now?
Yeah, you know, this is the other thing. This is a little more wonky, but I've always believed and held on to the philosophy that you should create your own job, you know, and for me personally, I've kind of created my own little reality here. So, the thing I love about this job, and I tell my team this every day, is when you get to, you know, levels of seniority, either because you're good at your job or you're old, and I'm, you know, you could argue either way for that for me, but, the thing that I love most about it is I literally get to pick the people I work with. And that part is awesome, because I come in every day to 120 people from OGO and Callaway marketing and our Callaway digital business that I really honest to God love working with every day. And those people are as committed to teamwork and creating an environment of collaboration and innovation as any group I've ever been around. So that, that's a dream come true. There's never a day where I walk in where I'm dreading going in. Some days are harder than others, just in terms of whatever the subject matter you're dealing with, but it's always an opportunity to learn from really smart people that are really wanting themselves and others to get better. So I don't know what would be my dream job if this isn't it, but I hope that Chip doesn't throw me out anytime soon, because I'd miss the people I work with, that's for sure.
You do a great job at it, Harry. And listeners, we're talking to Harry Arnett, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Brand Management over at Callaway Golf. You can follow him on Twitter at Harry Arnett CG. Harry, I promise that we won't wait another 90-something episodes to bring you back on the show.
I'll see you again, hopefully before the next 90.
All right, man. You have a good evening, and thanks again.
Thanks, Adam.
Bye-bye.